I also have 20 minutes, so...
Do you want the same piece as well?
Yeah. If you tell me when I've got 2 minutes left, that would be good. Although I'm looking at a clock up there, it's just 12 o'clock, or 1 minute past. I just want to read something from Scriptures. There's no point turning to your Bible, though, because unfortunately it's my own translation stroke interpretation. But I have got it up here, and you can go and check it out after if you want. I'll willingly give you this. But if you've been around me any length of time, you'll know how fed up I get with English translations of the Bible, because they always have everybody else's private axes they want to grind or doctrines they want to share. So I just went to have a look again at what Paul was saying to the Ephesians. And I just want to share a few verses from Ephesians 3 in before I launch into what I want to say. This is from Ephesians 3 and starting verse 3 and then going to verses 5 to 12. In appearing to me, that is Paul speaking, in appearing to me, he let me into his master plan, not shared with previous generations of mankind, but now revealed by the Holy Spirit to his special emissaries and messengers, that outsiders would themselves become participators in his inheritance and part of the same body and equal beneficiaries of the good news of all that is promised in Christ, the good news I was called to communicate by virtue of the free gift of God working powerfully in me. Yes, me, the most unlikely of all Christ's people. I've been given this undeserved gift to let the outsiders into this good news of the incredible treasures in Christ and to bring to light how they too can participate in that previously secret reality, known only to God from the beginning of time, when he created everything through Jesus Christ. He had this one purpose in mind, that now, by means of his designated body of representatives, that is the church, he could declare and demonstrate to authorities and powers in the unseen dimension his multifaceted brilliance in achieving the timeless purpose he intended through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has made possible for all of us our bold and confident admission to him because of our trust in him. Those words of Paul are so powerful in terms of what Paul saw he was about, what he was called to. And I want to suggest that God is calling us. I was so excited with what Rupert was sharing there. It was like I was just, wanting to stand up, and maybe I should have done, stood up and cheered him on, from the grandstand. But it's no good just cheering on from the grandstand. God is saying to us as a people, come out of the grandstands, come onto the pitch, and get involved. What I want to share with you this morning is something that has been with me for a couple of months. But it's only really this morning I can understand how it all fits together. Because this kind of came to me early one morning when I was in Slovakia, and God began to drop things into me. It developed over a few days, and I kept writing things down. But I believe that this is a call from God to us as individuals and also as a people. And I'm going to ask you to respond, quite literally. But I'll tell you about that when we get there. First of all, there is a call upon us as a people to Christ. No, it says to love Christ. But actually, if I just said now Christ and I sat down and said nothing else, that would be the communication that you needed to plug into everything else that we need to respond to. Because when we respond to Christ, when we respond to him, we're responding, yes, to the Savior of the world, to the one who's died and risen again, but we're also responding to everything that implicates us in. It implicates us in following the one who said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed me. He has Christed me to bring good news to the poor, to bring release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed. That's Jesus' manifesto. If you follow him, that's what you're letting yourself in for. But we're called to love Christ. To follow him, yes, but also to love him. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. But the first commandment is to love him. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. The great theologian, whose name has escaped me. Who was the great theologian? Karl Barth. Oh, that's a sign of age, isn't it? The great theologian Karl Barth, who wrote 13 volumes of systematic theology, enough to drive anyone up the wall, was once asked, what is the summary of all of your 13 books of theology? And he just said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's love. It's the love of Christ. And so the first thing is, I'm calling us to this morning, as a people, even in response to what Ruth has been sharing, is to love Christ. Unreservedly, over the top, exotically, luxuriously. To love Jesus Christ, who is the Father's gift to us and who is the one who fills us with the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying we ignore the rest of the Trinity, but actually the Trinity has put him there to be for us the way in. So the first thing I'm going to say to you this morning is, can you respond to loving Christ with all your heart, soul, mind and strength? If you can, say yes. You can see I'm drawing you in here. The second thing is, God is calling us to be a body. Flanders and Swann, I love Flanders and Swann song, so does David. We love Flanders and Swann. If you're too young to know who Flanders and Swann is, sorry, but they were a couple of, they were a good double act who sang together years ago in cabarets. And I think it was Michael Flanders who said, if God had meant us to fly, he would never have given us the railways. I want to say, if God had meant us to do this thing on our own, he would never have given us the church. Why? Because the church is hard work. It's much easier not to. It's much easier to try and go out there and do it on our own and get the paperbacks and get the, you know, get the tapes and watch the TV and do the stuff without having any reference to all this messy stuff that goes on when we try to get into community and be together. And actually all the pain it brings and all the disappointment it brings and all the trouble it brings. But Jesus said, this is how people will know you love one another. Sorry, this is how they'll know you're my disciples, if you love one another. Someone said to me this week that relationships test our love. Our love is tested by relationships. The only way you can actually see if anyone is really a Jesus follower, a Jesus lover, is by seeing how they are to the brothers and sisters who are around them. So I'm afraid that God has called us into, I say I'm afraid, I'm actually glad, because it's the body of Christ is the bride. What's happened here is it slipped. My son will now readjust me. Okay. That's a body for you, you see. We need the body. Because Christ calls us not as individuals. I want to nail something now. If you intend to do this walk with Christ individually, you will fail. God will not let you succeed on your own. Because his pathway is through church and through relationship and through being committed to one another and working it through the rough times, some of those times that Rupert was referring to. I'm sorry if that sounds hard, and you might say, well, you would say that, you're paid by them. But actually, I've been into church since dot. I have known that as a teenager, I've known that as a young man, I've known that as a family man. I've known it, that there's no way apart from being together that will successfully do what God wants to do, because God won't let us do it any other way. There's also one scary thing in there. If we won't do it, God will find someone else to. I was scared stiff when God spoke to me. In this time he was speaking to me, and he spoke to me through Revelation, where John sees the one who walks among the candlesticks, and of course the candlesticks represent the churches. And the first thing he says to Ephesus, to that church that Paul is writing to, he says, if you don't recover your first love, I will remove your candlestick. God can remove candlesticks. We are not indispensable to God. If that's scary, let it be scary. God is an awesome God. God is not playing games with us. He's not a big softie. God is intent on doing, I'm trying to pinch your overhead there, but God is intent on doing what he's got to do to restore the earth, to bring back to him what was lost through Jesus Christ, and he will use the people who will tie into that and will walk with him in that. The third thing is, we can't do it without the... Sorry, so before I do that, let me ask you to respond. Will you respond and say, yes, I will be part of a body? Say yes, if you will. Yes. May not be this body, but it needs to be part of a body. Thirdly, filled with his Spirit. God calls us to be filled with his Spirit. None of this can happen without the power and personality of God, who is the Holy Spirit, coming and filling us. All his gifts, all his graces, all his inspiration, all the things that he's provided, both what we might call the supernatural gifts, the gifts of tongues, the gifts of knowledge, the gifts of healing, the gifts of wonders, all of those things, as well as the baptizing with fire, the natural gifts that we have, the gifts of administration, the gifts of wisdom, the gifts of understanding, the gifts of intelligence, all the other things. We need his Holy Spirit. The reason we need his Holy Spirit as well is, yes, so that we can experience all those wonderful things, but secondly, we need to be hearing his call to be filled with his Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will form Christ in us. Nothing else, no one else, will form Christ in us like he will. I hope you don't always agree with the Holy Spirit. I hope you don't always agree with the Holy Spirit, because otherwise there's a problem. Why? Because the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, and he convicts us when we're not going Christ's way. And on those days when he comes and he says, by the way, what you're doing here is against Christ, you need to change. Maybe we should then say, yes, I do. But actually, our initial thing is, usually, I don't agree with that. But then the Holy Spirit keeps on at us. And so, of course, we want to agree with the Holy Spirit. But actually, I hope that the Holy Spirit is touching things in our lives constantly on an ongoing basis that are not as Christ wants us to be, so that he can change us into his image, into Christ's likeness. Can we respond as his people to do this, not in our own strength and our own power, again, what Rupert was talking about, but can we respond to do this filled with his Spirit? If you can, will you say yes? God's listening. I can't hear you. I can hear you, but I can't see you who was saying that, but you know you're saying that. Fourthly, we need to be intent on fruit. The psalmist says, unite my heart to fear your name. There's something about wholeheartedness that God is calling us to. This world is so full of so many things that are going on. But just ask yourself this: how many of those things will actually last beyond the next 10 years, beyond the next 20 years? How many of those things that I'm involved in, busying my life with, engaging with and doing, how many of those things are things that will count eternally? How many of those things will be remembered even in 30 years' time? We need to see things in the light of how God sees them and be intent on fruitfulness for him. What's he looking for? This is how my Father's glorified, said Jesus, that you bear much fruit. Also remembering that that which doesn't bear fruit, he prunes out. Scary stuff again. But God is so intent on forming Christ in us, on seeing his mission accomplished, that he's not going to pussyfoot about. He wants us to be intent, wholehearted. Is it then our intention to listen to God's call to be wholehearted, to be intent on fruitfulness for him? If you can be, say yes. This is something that the next one is we've already covered in a sense. This is the nub, I think, of what God is calling us to turn us around. Good news is not good news unless it's communicated. Good news is not good news unless it brings someone something they hadn't already seen or experienced or known. It's about Christ being seen. It's about him being visible. I sometimes think, wouldn't it be great to knock down that wall at the end and put in a big glass front so that what was going on was visible? Immediately you get the people saying, oh yes, but Jesus said to go into your closet and pray. You shouldn't be visible because that's like the Pharisees. Does that mean Jesus never prayed outside? Did Jesus never do anything visible? If he did, if everything Jesus did was invisible, we wouldn't have half of the Gospels. Jesus is visible with the good news. And we need to find ways. We need to engage with God. We need to respond to his call to be visible, not to hide it. We face a real challenge. I don't think I may already have said it here, but if not, if I am, forgive me for saying this. But the world out there wants to make Christian people, people who really love Christ and follow him, look socially inept. Look as though we're the nerds and the geeks. Actually, Paul said that's okay. That's what they did to him. It's what they did to Jesus. We've got to resist the temptation to go along with that conclusion of out there. That doesn't mean we go and do nerdy, geeky things to people. We've got to look at how we do things. But Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus because it's the power of God to rescue people. And if they don't hear, if they don't see, if they don't experience that invitation, if they don't see the reality of the transformation Jesus brings, then how can I be fulfilling what God is calling me to do and to be? And I'd love us to think, even as we look around these things this afternoon, to be looking at God, how can we be more visible than we are with the good news? It might even be your group just going and meeting in the pub instead of meeting in someone's front room. Or going and having a jazz night together somewhere. Or going to the pictures together and inviting your friends to come and discuss the film after with you. We don't really need to sit much longer in our living rooms doing religious things. Unless we're doing them with folks coming in and being with us. We need to find ways of breaking out. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you should never meet together to pray and Bible study ever again. But I'm saying if we just do that for eternity till Jesus comes, then we're going to miss it. Jesus wants us, he's calling us to find ways to turn outward, to get out of the box. I believe this is a call to us to get out of the box and to open the box and to find ways of engaging. I know many of you are already doing this. Please don't get tired with this brush, because if you're already up to your neck in doing this kind of thing, say hallelujah and that's great. But God, and if today God is provoking you, and say yes to him, if you feel, yeah, God, I want to find ways, I want to find steps. Can we respond to that call to be good news to the people around us? If you can, say yes. And it's to this city. I'm getting towards the end. A story of mine, Rupert shared his story. In 1977, I was sitting in the Dales Bible Week in Harrogate. I had my foot in three camps. I had my home church in Essex that actually I had kind of left, but I think they were kind of expecting me to go back there and maybe be part of the leadership in Essex. So I was studying theology here, by the way. I had a locum place in a church in Northampton, a Baptist church where the minister was nearing retirement, and I'd been doing some preaching work for him, and kind of there was a possibility there. It would have been a very nice place just to slip into. He would retire, I'd step in, you know, etc. There was here that I was part of, and at that time the church, well, it still is, was so full of gift. There were so many gifted people in the church. I thought, there's no way I'd even bother getting involved there because I just get lost in the gifted crowd. And I remember at this particular meeting, Dale's Bible Week, Ern Baxter, great preacher, stood up and he said, I want you to commit. I want you to say where you're going to be. And it was a huge trilemma for me. Where was I going to say I was going to be? Everyone was calling out the place. And I had this little 5-second, 10-second conversation going on with the Holy Spirit in my mind. And I said, well, there's Billericay. I don't really want to go back there. That's where my mum and dad were. I grew up there. Northampton's great because it's got a job. There's a job waiting for me there. And, you know, and I could really, you know, I could see that developing. Edinburgh's got so much gift. They don't know what to do with it. I would just be lost in Edinburgh. And the Lord said, Edinburgh may not need you, but you need Edinburgh. And I called to the Lord, Edinburgh, 1977, 31 years ago. And that's when my roots went down. Now, like Rupert, I'm open. If God were to say to me, please don't, Lord, but if he would say to me, it's up to him, honestly. If he would say to me, go somewhere else, obviously I would. I want to obey him, but you'd have to sort of paint it in the sky, a neon sign or something, for me to know. But this is home. This is not just home. This is where God has got me, thick and thin. You know, it's easy to jump ship. It's easy to jump ship. There are 100 other good churches out there doing other things. It's much more difficult to stay and see it through when the waters are choppy and the waters are rough. And I think we've just got to be careful. I love what Rupert said about seeing it through, you know, seeing the relational issues through. God is on our case. I'm nearly done. It's to Edinburgh and beyond. This is the place he's put us in. Not just us on our own, God forbid. There are some wonderful brothers and sisters in other bodies around the city, around the region, who are also working with us together to see this great vision come about. We're not on our own. It's not going to be CCE versus the city. There are others, NBC, St. Paul's and St. George's, Elim, Destiny, all the other guys that are working together, see this come together. It's an exciting time to be around here. It really is. That's why we need to play our part and to play it well, to be as together and as committed to this as our brothers and sisters are in the other places where they are being called to and they are working. My time's gone. The outcome will be glorious. It will involve sacrifice. It will involve cost. It will involve time. Jesus never said it would be any different. If you can say today, I am part of what God is calling us to here in Edinburgh and beyond, because it's in the region as well, and this is not for everyone, but it may be for you, then say yes. So lastly, the call is to be a body of Christ lovers, filled with his Spirit, intent on fruit, being good news to our communities in Edinburgh and beyond. That's what we want, Lord. That's what we want to be. Join in with me, just feel to do this right now. Join in with me as I sing this. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Let's take the next verse. Be thou my wisdom, be thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou
song. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one.
Riches I heed not. All right, be this one.
Be thou my battle shield, sword for the fight. Be thou my dignity, thou my delight. Thou my soul's shelter, and thou my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou now only, the first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, after victory's won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
I'm just going to read as we close the meditation for today, for the fifth day of the month, from the Northumbrian Celtic Daily Prayer. I'm no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for thee or laid aside for thee. Let me be exalted for thee or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Lord, you see our hearts this morning. You see our desire for you. Jesus, it's all about you. Lord, it's all about giving you the harvest of your death and your resurrection. Jesus, it's all about you being lifted up and seen by men and women through our lives, by boys and girls through what we do and who we are. Lord, we give you ourselves. We cast ourselves on your mercy, on the ocean of your purpose, as we raise our sails to go forward. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing among us. Thank you for the vision that is exposed here before us as we look around in these things and all that's still there to be known. As we pray for ourselves this morning, we would be careful to pray for those other brothers and sisters in other assemblies around the city who we think of this morning. And thank you that we're not alone in this great call that you're putting upon us. But Lord, we want to fulfill our part of it. We don't want to sit back and step aside and let them do it alone. We want to be with them. And Lord, we want to take our part. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've spoken to us. Turn it over in our hearts. Maybe not just be emotional reaction and response, even though it's been full of feeling this morning and full of emotion, and you've heard our hearts. But Lord, go deep into our spirits and establish something. There are people here even this morning who will be here in 20 and 30 years' time because of today. And Lord, that's amazing. There are those of us who've already been here that long who will be encouraged, but who in maybe in a few years' time you'll be calling away to other things, but we want to go in your calling and your purpose, not because of broken relationships or because things get difficult. Help us, Father. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Holy Spirit, because you want to. We just remind ourselves of the words that were spoken at the beginning of this year, that you have not set us up to fail. You've not set us up to fail. But also, Lord, you remind us that we can if we want to. We can if we choose to. But it's not your desire for us to fail. Lord, we want to be with you. Thank you, Lord, for one another. Thank you for all that you're doing among us. Give us a really good meal time together. It's a really good time of fellowship and enjoying all of the good things that you provided among us. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. There's some practicalities as we go into lunchtime. I think, Anne, you're going to come and tell us what those are. Are you going to tell us about the practicalities? Leslie? By the way, I do want to say, for sure, thank you to everyone who has put in so much hard work today. Leslie has been cooking the meal for us today. So I want to say, yeah.